Velkommen til Kokken og Gæsten. I dag er det samarbejde med Landbrug og Fødevare. Vi sidder hos Landbrug og Fødevare, og i den forbindelse har vi indgået et samarbejde, hvor vi skal sætte et fokus på det grønne, og hvordan vi får inkorporeret det grønne i vores måltider derhjemme, men også på den gastronomiske scene. I den forbindelse så har Landbrug og Fødevare etableret noget, der hedder det grønne kokketræf, som vi også kommer til at snakke om i dag i denne her episode. Men ellers så læn jeg tilbage og så nyd en god snak med en kok, som har i den grad fokus på det grønne og det veganske i dagens Danmark 2024. Welcome to you, Jason.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Great to be in here.
Maybe some of the guys listeners know you, somebody not know you, but today we're gonna know you for the things you're doing in your restaurants and why you are in Denmark. Because you are from Australia, right?
Yeah, just down the road.
Yeah. Take us on a trip down memory lane and why you'll be here in Denmark today.
Sure. So I left Australia 20 years ago and I went to go traveling around the world, but I met a Swedish girl, actually. I was a dive instructor and met a Swedish girl, so I decided to stop in and see her. And it ended up becoming a base for me. So she moved from Gothenburg down to Copenhagen for med school. And then I came here and thought, oh, this is a good place just to have as a base. And then 20 years later, I've sort of got stuck here. But I used to work 5 months a year here, and then I would travel 7 months. And I went to 60 countries over 6 years, just surfing, basically, sleeping on the beach and doing that sort of thing. So work hard in Denmark and then travel. But everywhere I worked, I went from fine dining to like nightclubs, bars, all sorts of things just to keep me going in between and things like that. So yeah, the quick sort of thing is I've been in lots of restaurants and that. And then in 2015, I decided to open my own restaurant. I was running Sticks and Sushi, 12 of their restaurants. I used to design the bars and train the staff and open new restaurants and things like that. And I wanted to open my own, and it was meant to be a Aussie barbecue, actually, because there was nothing like that here. But then it was about 4 or 5 months before opening, I watched a series called Cowspiracy and Earthlings, and basically it brought tears to my eyes. And from that moment, I was like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go plant-based, which was super scary. Everybody warned me against it. It wasn't happening at all back then, so it was very new. And the vegan food that was out there was just absolutely terrible. It was like biting into a table. And it's still like that in a lot of places. So it was tough. I actually found the best chef in Denmark for plant-based food and got her to come and start training me and opened my first restaurant. And it took time, but it was trashy vegan food even back then.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something I was really proud of. But it got popular because there was nothing else out there, but I didn't want to do this basic sort of vegan food. So I started looking into it and trying to get chefs with a higher level of training and train myself and things like that. And then it went from a trashy vegan restaurant to basically fine dining all within 4 years. So that was, it was pretty tough, but that's the quick version of the story here.
But back in 2015, were the Danish people ready to get the vegan food?
Definitely not.
You have to sell some menus to keep it running.
For sure. I mean, even now, Danes are still very scared of plant-based food. It's hard to get them into the restaurant. Once we get them, they're hooked. But still, I mean, bacon is the biggest thing here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really tough to get them into the restaurant. Even it doesn't matter how many awards we get or Six Hearts in Politik and or whatever, people are still quite scared about it. But it's changing. And there was a real movement until Corona hit. And then the whole plant-based thing just died off. I think people, they were restricted for so long during Corona that when they came out, they were like, I don't care. I've been restricted. I want to eat what I want. I want to drink what I want. Yeah. I want to go and have fun. They sort of forgot about the planet. It was like, it doesn't matter. You know, there was all this global warming in the news every day and it just disappeared. But it's slowly starting to come back. And the nice thing is you see the younger generation bring their parents into the restaurant. And they're the biggest skeptics. But then they get there and they eat it and they're like, oh my God, I'm going to start cooking plant-based at home and things like that. And that for me is the biggest win, actually, when someone's like, hey, I'm going to cut down on meat. I'm like, that's my job done. You know, that's what I'm trying to do.
But what are your thoughts about the people are scared about it? Why?
There's a lot of bad vegan food out there, right?
Yeah.
And I don't blame them. Like, I go traveling in restaurants and it's terrible. So of course they don't want to eat it. The problem is there's not enough trained chefs cooking plant-based food. So there's a lot of hippies and people that have just never been trained go and open a restaurant, a vegan restaurant. Like, yeah, I'm going to cook this.
Yeah.
It's boring, you know. But when you get real chefs that have been trained and they just treat a piece of like a mushroom or carrot, but they treat it like meat. They actually do something to it. It's not just serve raw or boring. It becomes amazing. But you need people with the skill to be able to do that because all the recipes online, it's from all these home chefs and things like that. It's the same thing, chickpeas and whatever. So it's quite boring. People just aren't educated enough yet. And I get it, you know, like why go and spend 1,000 kroner and it's a boring meal or something? You want to go out and have something exciting. So I think as more like proper chefs are actually changing, people are coming along with it. But it takes time, you know. Copenhagen, it definitely is behind. Danes are so far ahead on, you know, sustainability and riding bikes and wind energy and all this. But when it comes to plant-based food, I think them and somewhere in Romania or something like that are the worst in Europe that actually want to change their diet. It's the English and the Danes are actually the worst that want to change their diet to eating more meat. So it's a pretty scary statistic. I think Copenhagen Post did something about it. So I think it's just the type of food and, you know, it just takes someone like Renee or someone to swap their restaurant from Noma to plant-based.
Yeah.
It's going to become a big thing.
Yeah.
But it is slowly happening. We need more of the big chefs to really make that change.
And maybe just give the guys at home some more inspiration, because I also think they find it difficult to make it at home.
Definitely.
Because you can make it at your restaurant and make it taste amazing. But when you go home and buy the carrot,
for sure,
you can make the same taste, I think.
It is definitely difficult, especially, yeah, if you don't have the right training. But there is getting a lot more good recipes online that you can follow, whereas in the past, there wasn't a lot out there. I mean, mushrooms for me are the easiest thing to replicate meat and give you that feeling that you're not missing out on meat. And I mean, every review we get, it always ends up being about the mushroom. Like, we didn't feel like we missed out on meat and things like that. And they're quite easy to cook. There's different types of mushrooms. There's so many. But something like a blue oyster, which you can find anywhere, you can basically just cook it like a piece of steak. You know, make sure you season it and things like that. Chuck it in the pan, a little bit of oil, or get some butter or something. And then it tastes great. But then you have something like a lion's mane, which is a different type of mushroom. But again, if you don't just chuck it on the pan, but you actually confit it or sous vide it or something, like you would do a really good piece of steak, it's the same thing. And it comes out amazing. But there's a few little techniques, and there's a lot more YouTube videos now that you can actually do that. But you, I mean, you could come into something like our casual restaurant, which is called Baylor. And we basically make KFC, but with mushrooms. And there's been so many reviews that are like, this is better than any chicken that I've had in Denmark. And we do it like Korean fried chicken. We'll do a barbecue. We do different recipes. And something like
mushrooms.
That is quite basic, actually. And you could end up doing this at home. So it's just, it's putting in a little bit of effort.
And education to the
people. And education. Yeah. Again, look at videos and things like that. I mean, one of our goals is to actually start to make videos that people can cook at home. Because we realize what we do in the restaurant isn't so easy. And it does take time to cook at that level. It's super hard. And this is, some people don't understand why plant-based food costs the same or close to, but in Denmark, the wages are so high. I can't just put a piece of meat on and serve it. That carrot takes me so much work to make it taste good that it
and
needs
choose
to,
the right carrot, right?
And choose the right carrot for sure. But it takes so much work that it needs to cost the same. And but people don't get that.
No, people don't understand that, right?
No, and I get it. It's like, why am I paying the same price for a piece of carrot? It's like, does that carrot taste good? It's better than any carrot you've ever had. That's because it took me a lot of work to make it good.
That's maybe, you can buy carrots in the down in the supermarket for 8 crowns, and then you could buy some meat for 30 crowns.
Yeah.
So the difference in the head, I
definitely
think.
Definitely. Because you think that piece of beef is just salt and pepper and put it on the frying pan, and it's going to taste good. You can't do that to a carrot. You know what I mean? There's a lot of work. And for every hour of a wage, it costs a lot of money. If I was in Spain, it would be completely different. I could bring the prices down a long way because wages are so low. But in Denmark, it makes it really difficult when you have to do a lot of work to the food.
Mm.
So it's not so easy.
Let's dive a little bit into Ark, maybe, your restaurant.
Sure.
Tell me about the experience when I get there. I'll go inside the door and just have a good night. What are the whole experience? Which courses are I going to meet? Which products will I meet?
So, I mean, there's a lot that the guests don't realize, and that's fine. It's like walking into any fine dining, nice restaurant or whatever, but there's a lot behind that people don't know. And we're probably bad at telling our story, actually. But what's that Danish saying? It's like, don't look at me or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a real Danish saying, what's it called? But yeah, it's like, you don't talk up your own praise. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think that's great. Like the famous people and that, everyone's just sort of equal and in the background. And the restaurants, as soon as you walk in, there's a lot about sustainability. And it's not just about the food. It's about the floor that you walk on when you come to Ark. It's all made from a local forest in Foon. Lights that are made out of mushrooms, like curtains, fabrics, chairs. They're made out of recycled plastic bottles, but you would never know. It looks exactly the same. Or it might look like leather, but it isn't. But it costs a lot. It's definitely more expensive, but people aren't going to realize that. But when you walk into our restaurants, there's thought about everything. We don't even just put the same paint on the wall. It's got to be plant-based. So we got to check out where it comes from. The chairs, we have to look into the glue. Is it plant-based and things like that? So there's actually a lot that we do. The food, we try and make as local as we can, but we're still restricted. You know, you don't want to eat just root vegetables all winter long. So we have to get in things from Spain or nuts from Asia and things like this. So we're not perfect, and we try and tell people that we do what we can when we can, but we're definitely not perfect, but we always think about it. Something like avocados, it's the vegan's best friend. It's on everything. You can make creams, mousses. We don't have it in any of our restaurants just because it takes too much water, and we can find something else that is as good or to change it up. So when we can, we won't use that. But like wines and things will come from Europe. Drinks we make in-house. So there's not much that we buy in, non-alcoholic. Everything's fermented. It's made in one restaurant and then sent to the others in glass bottles so that it can come back and it can be recycled. There's lots of little details that people don't think. But as a normal guest, when you walk into the restaurant, it's like walking into any fine dining. I think our service is very different. I come from Australia and I've been in America a lot. It's very welcoming, and that's what we're really trying to do. There's a high level of service. And even Sticks and Sushi, actually, they were really Nazi about their service, like high level, I think, especially for the type of food they did. So I took a lot from them and brought it into the restaurant. But when you walk in, it's just normal feeling, and you'll sit down as a normal fine dining restaurant and you'll get pedophores and then 9 or 10 courses, and you'll have snacks in the beginning and things like this. The big difference is a lot of people, they miss out, I think, on our non-alcoholic drinks. It's something we take a lot of pride in. And a lot of fine dining restaurants just do juices.
Hmm.
We don't do that. We're fermenting. We're using teas. It's all made in house, and it's not comfortable. It's not just an easy drink. We'll do some crazy, weird stuff. But when you go to Arc, I don't want you to have just a comfortable night. You need to be put out. You're paying a lot of money. It shouldn't be something that you could just experience all the time. We want to like explore those taste buds and give you a different experience. And it needs to be a little bit creative. So when you come in, you walk away going, wow, I didn't think plant-based food could be done like that. Whereas when you go to the other restaurants, it's more comfort. You know, it's something that you just know is going to be amazing and everybody's going to like and things like that. Whereas Arc, we try and give you a different feeling once you're in there.
Can you feel that it's the young people that's going for the restaurants?
No, not at all. They can't afford it. So it's about 25 to 40. But a lot of older people are starting to come in. I think because they can afford it and they're at that point in their life that they want to do something for the planet and they want to try, or their kids are pushing them or things like that. So there is, you'll get these grandma and grandpas and it amazes me. You're like, wow, all right, come on in.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They absolutely love it.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that are blown away more than anybody. And, you know, they're going to tell the kids that they're going to try and cook more plant-based
they
and stuff like
eat
that.
Eat the same in 60 years, so they have
for
to
sure.
Get something new.
So yeah. More people are going, but, I mean, businessmen and that is a little more difficult. They're going to their steakhouses and things like that. But, I mean, that's for Arc, and then you have something like Baylor, which is on the cheaper end, and that's from young to old because everybody can afford it. And I think if you're worried about going into a vegan restaurant and paying a lot of money, a lot of people go to Baylor because they're like, oh, it's an entry level. I don't have to spend that much and I can see what it's about. So that's the nice thing with having different restaurants with different concepts and price ranges. It can be depending on what people want. But I mean, Arc is there to blow people's mind and really that flagship of like, wow, I didn't realize plant-based food could be done like that.
What are your main goal with these restaurants? What do you want to achieve or give to the people? Or
I want as many people as I can get to cut down on meat. And we've never been a restaurant group or anything that says go plant-based. We don't believe in that. And I'm the sort of person, if you tell me to do something, I'm not going to do it. So we go that way, and I'm trying to tell people like, hey, just cut down on meat once a week to start with, one meal or whatever it happens to be, and then keep going. And that's sort of really the goal. And like sometimes I think I wish I could afford it, that it's not a restaurant to make money. It's just to get as many people as I can to cut down on the amount of meat that they're eating so they start eating more plant-based at home and things like that. But obviously, you still have to pay people and all these different sorts of things.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably the main goal. I know for the chefs, there's like Michelin stars and all these sorts of things, which is really important to them. But we just want to make a high level of food that people can come and enjoy and not feel guilty and just learn. And I think we're slowly doing that. We're getting the different awards and reviews and stuff like that. So we're getting there, but it definitely takes time.
Now it's time to get inside your brain and just talk about creative. When you make new courses, maybe you can learn the people at home something. But do you pick just one carrot or potato and just go with in the kitchen and just start thinking about what will be good at this? And what are you doing?
I mean, now, to be honest, I have chefs that are way better cooks than me. So I used to do it all back in the day, but I wanted to raise it to a different level, which I couldn't do. So they'll just kick me out now. They're like, go and get out. But the guys, it depends what's in season, right? So that's the first thing. We have to see what's there. And that can restrict you so much, especially wintertime. It's all root vegetables and, I mean, beetroots and celeriac, and it's hard to convince people that it's good. So it takes a lot of work. So first of all, we look at the seasons, and that's in all the different restaurants. And then if you go for somewhere like Baylor, it needs to be easy enough that the chefs can pull it off there. Yeah. Because the chefs at Arc are on a completely different level. They have different training. So for the different restaurants, we need to pick what can be done there at what price point as well. Because obviously we don't want to charge too much. Whereas at Arc, it's like, all right, we can go all in. What are we going to do with this carrot or celeriac and things like that? But there is a lot of things you can do. It just takes a lot of practice. And I mean, the chef that is the main chef, Brett, the executive chef, and he has a part of the business now as well. He was never trained in plant-based food, you know, and he's been in 3 Michelin stars in Japan and 3 hats in Australia and all this. But he's had to write the recipes himself. And when I first hired him, some of the food, I was like, shit, what have I done? This isn't that good. But he was looking online and trying to find recipes, but it wasn't there. And then it just changed for him. And he said, he basically went from trying to look at these recipes online just to going, I'm going to do all the techniques and everything that I was trained in school, but apply that to plants. And the food changed drastically. It was insane. You know, how am I going to, that piece of meat, I'll treat a mushroom the same. And it was crazy how easy it was just to swap it around. But he's been writing the recipes himself, and there's a lot of practice. Like 3 or 4 of the chefs will get together, and they're just practicing over weeks before the new season comes and trying different things. But the other problem is being so seasonal, you can't get that product beforehand to practice. So just as it comes into season, we're probably a week or 10 days delayed because we're like, all right, what can we do with this? Now we've been doing it for the last 4 years. You sort of got a back catalog of what you used to do, but we never do the same food. So you'll see a lot of fine dining restaurants like Geranium, for instance. They had the same menu for 10, 15 years or something like that. We change it every season, every year. It's completely different. So there's actually a lot of work and a lot of experimenting. But how you could do that at home, I'm not too sure until we make some more recipes there. Because there's a lot of work and a lot of experimenting. But if the people at home have been chefs before, you just apply the same techniques and start playing around and do that, and it can work. Like now we've started making cheese and stuff like that. And I've never had a good plant-based cheese in my whole life. Everyone's always like, try this one, try that one. It's like biting into cardboard, like it's terrible. But we're starting to get there. It's not easy, but we're actually starting to make like a camembert and a blue cheese and things like that, which actually taste good. But it'll be a long time before we can put a recipe out because we've got to perfect it. So
that's how it is with new stuff.
Definitely.
Now we're going to switch off to the what we called in English, the green cook-off, and in Danish, the grønne kokketræf. Some chef have gone together with the LNF, Landbrug & Fødevare, and make the green cook-off. And I think it's a good choice because they're going to show and going to make a restaurant to the people that can come and eat, like at your restaurant, and have a little more inspiration in the plant-based food. What do you think about the green cook-off concept?
I actually just heard of it the last week, funnily enough. I think it's amazing because it's also, they've picked from what I've heard, proper chefs. And that's the most important thing, that chefs that have been trained are actually doing this, because they can showcase it from something easy at home to something technical. And the more people that are doing this and pushing it forward, the more people that are going to get into it. So they're going to go to this restaurant or wherever to try it and then be like, oh, this is good. Let's go and check out Arc or Looper or Baylor. Mm-hmm. And it just spreads the word. And some people are scared of competition. In our field, it would be perfect. Someone like Noma or whatever would just bring so many people into this field and starting to learn that the more people doing it, it's just got to be the right people for me. I'm tired of bad plant-based food. It puts people off, and then it's really hard to get them back in. So it has to be done right, and then people are going to keep trying it and keep going for it. So I think this initiative is amazing. I would just wish we had heard of it and and we can be a part of it, because I think we've been doing it for 4 years. And I think we're doing it better than anybody. I'm not sure, but I think we're right up there. I mean, our restaurants, for the people that don't know, we've got 2 green Michelin stars. And in the world, plant-based restaurants, there's only 10 restaurants that have a green star. And we have 2. And I don't know if Denmark even knows that. And I'm sort of doing this for Denmark. I wanted Denmark to be proud, like, whoa, we've got 2 of the only 10 in the world, plant-based restaurants with a green star.
I don't think the Danish people know that.
They wouldn't have a clue.
No.
And I've tried, and I tried Berlinsk and Politik, and like, don't you guys want to write about this? But no one seemed to want to pick it up, or like, eh, whatever.
The green stars don't get so much show off.
No,
like
definitely.
The red ones.
And fair enough, I mean, honestly, there's so much greenwashing out there. It's just, it's insane. Ooh. And a lot of these green stars, you're like, oh my God, come on. You know, like.
Nice hand on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a bit stupid. But I think what we've achieved is just, it's pretty cool, and not many places have done it. So we just struggled to get that story and for people to actually hear about it and be like, oh, okay, these must be good restaurants. Let's go and check them out.
Of course. Do you think we need more like the green cook-off to move on the Danish people and just show them the green cook-off? We make more of that kind of stuff and more like of your restaurants.
100%.
Going to move the people to think, okay, it's perfect.
Definitely. And I mean, there's that restaurant competition in Goodholm in Bornholm every year. They should just make one part of it that's vegetables, or make, hey, this year it's just going to be about vegetables. It would really get people into it, and we'd probably get the TV crew and people quite interested in that. Hmm. And it's little things like that which can change a lot of people very quickly. So I think the more that happens, the better. I own a mushroom farm as well, and this isn't me trying to push it out there, but there should be a massive focus on mushrooms, because vegetables are great, but the things that you can do with mushrooms, it's unbelievable. And it really replicates meat without trying to be these fake meats and stuff like that, which are terrible, most of them. This is something that's natural, delicious, super sustainable. It's in vertical farming. And our farm has just such a high level product that's grown here, all of it here in Copenhagen, Denmark. Like, why not push it out there? Mm. And I think people just need to learn, and a competition just about mushrooms could really show what people can do, because it really gives you that feeling of meat, and it changes people very quickly. It's like, oh, I can cook that at home. It's not just boring carrots and root vegetables and things like that. So I think mushrooms need a special place. And again, that's not because I own a farm. It's just, it's what they can do is amazing. Like, Noma takes a lion's mane and makes a steak out of it. And it's one of the best things I've had in my life. I went in there and was just blown away. Like, oh my God, this is... people need to know this. They need to know how to cook this at home. And hopefully I can get them to do a recipe so people can cook that at home. Because then once a week you're like, hey, let's get rid of that steak and put a mushroom on. But we need competitions and things like this for it to get out there. And then, like you were saying, there needs to be a recipe to follow it. Mm. Because there's no point going, wow, that looks great, but I could never cook that. You need a recipe, then you're like, okay, let's try this at home. So I think that's the way forward.
Thank you very much for your time and your thoughts about the whole plant-based.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Perfect.